Hello and welcome to South of King's Landing, the Explosion Network's Game of Thrones after show. I'm Dylan Blight, and joining me, Ashley Hobley.
Hey Dylan, excited to be here talking about the Thrones games.
The Thrones games, that's exactly the show it is about.
Or, did you know you're fucking your relative?
That's probably the better tagline, I think, actually, yeah. Yeah, so of course this is our after show for Game of Thrones. You watch this after you've watched the show, we talk about...
And preferably.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably not going to make much sense if you don't, to be perfectly fucking honest with you. So, yeah. Watch it after you've watched the episodes. We're going to go through and kind of break down and give our thoughts about some of the bigger, more key moments throughout the show, of course. So that's what it's about. Briefly, this week's episode was the first of season six, of course. The premiere episode. It was titled Winterfells, directed by David Nutter, written by Dave Hill. This week in the premiere, we got to see a lot of Winterfell, because it's the title, of course. We see Daenerys and Jon arrive back at Winterfell to a somewhat cold reception as Sansa questions why Jon gave up his title to her as King of the North and bent the knee, basically. And the Northerners struggle to accept Jon throwing away his figurative crown as well. Then we get to see a lot of characters come back to one another face-to-face for the first time since... For a lot of them, season one, I guess. For some of them quite a few seasons as well. So that was good. There's a lot of fan servicey type stuff in that aspect, although not really forcibly stuff, I suppose. And then, of course, big moment later in the episode where we get to find see Jon finally learn his true family lineage, which is delivered to him via Sam, who also learns about what's happened to his family. And then in the North this episode, we don't get much there, but Cersei seems to be naively giddling about the fact that the undead are suddenly breaking through the wall, and she's just, as usual, being really dumb and thinking that she's going to be able to get away with everything. And then Euron's just obsessed with fucking.
He's thinking with one part of his body.
Thinking with definitely one part of his body, that's for sure. So before we jump into certain, breaking down certain story beats and those sorts of things, what are your overall thoughts for the premiere episode of the final season, Ash?
I mean, it was a solid episode. It was kind of what I think a lot of people have come to expect from a season premiere of Game of Thrones, sort of setups the season with different storylines. It was sort of checking in with everybody, seeing where everybody's at. Obviously, it was a bit more interesting because everybody's kind of together for a change. Mm-hmm. Danny's not off on the other side of the world. They're all kind of grouped up in two places. So, it was. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the moments of Jon seeing Arya and Bran, and Bran just not caring about anything. That was fun.
What is Bran? What is Bran really, and what is his deal? I don't. It's just all the memes I've seen online of the best one I saw was someone posted a video of a dog, like from the outside of a house, and it was like, "This is Bran." This entire episode of Game of Thrones, and they're like at one window, and the dog's just like sitting there, and then they start walking around the outside. By the time they get to the next window, the dog's just sitting there staring already. Go to the next window, dog's moved, it's staring. Go around to the other side of the house, dog's ran all the way over there, ready. They're staring for this tiny gap of the window or something like that. So, yeah, that was probably the most evident thing, I think.
It's very amusing. Very amusing.
I've seen a lot of people online say that they were somewhat underwhelmed with this episode. What do you reckon about that? Did you find it at all underwhelming?
Well, when you've got six episodes, I guess you're expecting big things to happen quickly. So,
but how quickly is my question? Like,
I think you just need to go in with realistic expectations, and you'd be like, yeah, that's pretty solid. I don't think it's like world changing or mind blowing or anything. So, but there are moments that I liked and enjoyed finally getting to see, and it's clearly setting up this last run, so you can't fault it too much for that.
Episode's a lot,
especially given we haven't seen an episode in two freaking years.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, remember this thing? Remember this? Setup. Remember this? Setup. It was pretty much what I expected the first episode, to be honest. Honestly, and although I want to discuss little bit later, kind of what we think is going to happen next episode, obviously. I kind of expect the separate second episode to be somewhat similar. And I've kind of thought this from the moment we knew the run times, because it was like episode 1, 2, 50 something minutes, and then episode 3, 4, 5, 6 are like increasing in runtime, these sorts of things. I'm like, okay, so the first two episodes are set up-y type, just more those sorts of things. But I thought it was a good premiere. I mean, it's as I said before, it's a lot of fan servicey type stuff, but not like bad fan servicey type stuff, I guess, unless you want to count the dragon thing, which
it was all natural
get to, but it all just seemed like, hey, just enjoy these characters kind of coming back, like talking to one another for a while before things start getting too crazy.
Before they all die.
Yeah, before they all start dying off one another, killing off one another and these sorts of things. So that's fine. I definitely not, you're not going to look back on the season. I hardly doubt I'm going to look back at the season and be like, yeah, this is one of the strongest episodes. But it's just seems like a necessary episode, but I don't think that makes it great or bad either way. It's just like, it's fine. Looking forward to next week, I guess. Like,
yeah,
falls neither side of good or bad to me. All right, so let's dive into some of the stuff that happened in.
Can I kick off something that we haven't put in the notes?
Okay, yeah.
I really like the new opening credits. They've done. Obviously, they're not spanning all over the world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they've sort of focused in on Winterfell and King's Landing. So instead of like just really large shots from the outside, they've actually gone into the buildings, which they haven't done in the previous seasons, sort of look in the crypt and underneath Star Cavern. And then at the end of the credits, it's an actual shot of the Iron Throne, which is, I thought was pretty cool.
I liked it. But I guess I wasn't as impressed as you, because I was just like,
you weren't
they changed
paying
the credits.
Attention. You're like, I've got to get my notes.
Well,
you get my pad.
To be 100, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't really paying too much credit. I think I looked up, I saw them going through the crypt. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And then I was.
You were just too busy going, dun, 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 dun.
We've sat through it enough times. The credits start.
There are clues. There are clues.
I did see some people on Reddit being like, they've got a symbol in the fucking thing now and all these sorts
of stuff. They changed the, you know, the little the world thing that spins around. They've got like the bands. They've changed the imagery on that.
Yeah, I saw.
One of them's the Red Wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got little secrets in there. Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. Out of habit, I sit down, I put it on. I would never fast forward through it because I like listening to the music, but I do think that I'm now just like, I seriously wasn't paying too much attention to the actual opening thing. They change it every season somewhat. I'm used to them changing it, but it's never.
They pretty much change it every episode, depending on
sometimes
the episode.
What's happening. Yeah, depends on what's happening in
the most times.
Yeah, so we'll see next week. I presume it'll be
also
the
they
exact
had like
though.
The obviously they had the shattered wall that was the start.
That was cool.
Of the trailer. That's cool.
That's cool. Seeing the wall shattered.
Like, yeah, remember this?
Remember the wall was shattered.
Yeah.
How'd you forget that? All right, so as the title suggests, of course, this episode revolves a lot around Winterfell, because that is the title of the episode.
Also, I saw someone point out it's a tie-in to the first episode, which was called Winter is Coming.
Yes. There is another episode called something Winterfell, like the one where they fired it off, versus John versus girlfriend or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's called something of Winterfell, like the Battle for Winterfell, something or other, Winterfell, something. I swear that was called something Winterfell as well. You know the one
I'll
where he kills
research.
Her? Spoilers? We're in season 8.
The one where they kill...
Where he kills his to-be wife? You know that one? That's the thing that...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was called something or other of Winterfell as well. But this episode opens with Daenerys and Jon and their army arriving at Winterfell, of course, after we last saw them get on their boats and have the old sexy times at the end of the last episode after the wall came and they left behind the dragon died, wall came crashing down. They didn't know about that. They're on the run. They're in boats. Now we get a little bit, we don't know how long's passed, I guess. It would have been months, obviously, realistically, but then last season they introduced all this time doesn't really matter because characters just disappear and left, right and center all over the place. So I don't really try not to think about the time aspect of the characters in this show too much these days, because they just fast travel. They're video game characters fast traveling all around the place.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, we get to see Arya. She's like in the crowd down with the townspeople, which I find funny because it's like Arya's she's like, I'm just one of the people. I'm just gonna, chill
also
out.
Kind of a callback to the first episode.
Was she watching Jaime and all that come in from the town. Yeah,
not from like a tree, but like on top of a cart or
similar
something.
Similar.
I think I saw pointed out.
Yeah. So she's watching everyone come in, and she she looks really happy with, like, she sees John, and she like wants to like call out, but then she chooses not to. But it's
she looked kind of upset that he didn't notice her.
Didn't notice her. Yeah, but.
He's like,
To me, I took it as like, I was like, oh, Arya's just like the audience for this whole episode, getting to watch all these characters just interact with one another and be like, oh, look, here they come. I'm just going to watch you all giddy. But then also it was this thing for, as her character, where she kind of broke for a second and wanted to yell out like, hey, John, my family, like, oh, I love it. But we're so used to like Arya now just being like this more like stern and serious.
Stoic.
Yeah. So for a second there, she kind of broke and like smiled and wanted to be like, hey, John, remember me? Your sister, you ever talk to me?
I'm older now.
Yeah, do you recognize me?
I'm big.
I've killed some people. Can you tell? I wear people's faces now. What I see, I wear yours. That's a bit weird, but... So, first thing we see when they all arrive into the actual town is we get to see John reunite with Bran finally. They haven't seen each other since the first season, right?
Yep, and Bran was super emotional.
Yeah, he's like, hello, John. It's nice to see you again. And John's like, hey, bro, how you going, man? Give you a hug.
Can okay, you just give Sansa a look?
Just like, awesome. Have you heard? I'm the one-eyed raven. Like,
hey.
Have you heard? I have powers now. Yeah, Bran, this entire episode's really fucking creepy, of course. But at this stage, honestly, I'm just used to Bran being creepy. I feel like
it's a fun kind of creepy now.
It's it's something is what it is. Then he, of course, he talks to Sansa, and Sansa introduces... John introduces Sansa to Daenerys, and they straight away, not exactly off to the...
No, don't like each other.
Not exactly off to the best start at all, are they? You can tell, like, at one stage there, Sansa, like, literally just looks up and down with her eyes and was like, no, don't like you at all. Like, she's pretty much...
harsh.
Not onto it.
Super harsh, really. Mm. She doesn't seem to have much justification... to like her, other than...
I don't know, so...
I guess it's probably going to be explored further on, but...
She doesn't... It's Northerners. They don't trust anyone. It's like their thing.
That's true.
They go in and they have a meeting, of course, after this. And everyone's, upset with Jon because he's bent the knee to Daenerys. And thus gave up his King of North title that they all gave him. So people
made
are...
up.
Well... Yeah, but it's a mate.
It wasn't official.
Old titles are made up until they're official. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's be real.
Yeah.
So they're all pissed off about that, including what's that girl's character? The younger. I can't fucking.
Oh,
I should remember her name. Sorry, but she's still here.
Lyanna Mormont.
Thank you, Lyanna Mormont. She's the one yelling and screaming about it at one stage there.
Hasn't aged a day. It's crazy.
Not at all. You'd think she would have because she's
no, a
little kid, and usually they age the fastest in these shows, and you can tell
the fastest, yeah, the but fastest, no. But
no.
They must have shot this like real quick. They're like, we need to get
her stuff
done quick.
Yeah. Hurry up. She's a growing little girl. We need to.
Or drugs.
Oh, you went hard.
Anti aging.
You took it in a completely different direction.
Anti aging drugs.
That's probably not, though. So they begin talking about that sort of stuff, and John's like, you know. I'm more interested in protecting the North than I am having a title. And then, rightfully so, he's like, and guess what? The fucking titles don't matter when we're all going to fucking die if we don't all get along.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of
the only rational person.
Yeah, a lot of the show the last couple of seasons has John just been like, I'm sick and tired of the politics, the titles.
Yeah.
We're all going to die to the zombies if... You people don't all...
We don't work together.
To get along. The only thing Sansa says that does make sense and is like a rightful kind of thing to bring up. She's like, you know, I don't know how I'm... She's like, I guess, you know, cool, this is great and all, but I don't know how I'm supposed to feed an army of Unsullied, an army of Dothraki, plus whatever the rest of your army, along with all the people I've got.
Plus two dragons.
Like, and then she has a funny little comment, what do dragons even eat? And then you can tell Daenerys is a little bit annoyed with that comment. It's like, whatever they want. It's like, well, just
fucking that was unnecessary.
Just calm down, Daenerys. You're in a house. And she's like, I'm queen, though.
She's got a point.
She does have a point.
Valid point.
It is a valid point, I think. Like, there is a lot of people to feed, and, the you know, winter is here, hashtag, and there's a fight coming and these sorts of things. So it's a very valid point, I feel. But yeah, how do you feel about the way, because obviously it continues for the rest of the episode, Sansa's not feeling up to it, and then later in the episode she questions Jon and asks him pretty much she just straight up says, did you bend the knee because to protect us, or is it because you love her? So do you feel like Sansa's being too overprotective, or like the right level for she's running it now? So
I mean, given her backstory and history, I mean, it makes sense that she's a bit wary of powerful women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't trust queens. Yeah.
She just looks too much like Margaery and Cersei back in the day.
Does she though?
Blonde. Just doesn't like blondes.
All blonde people look the same.
I think we'll probably explore it the next couple of episodes. There'll be tension. I think it's just women's intuition. That's what it is, more than anything else.
Is that what you're boiling it down to? Women's intuition. Yep. That's what it must be. Yeah, fair enough. I feel like there's a select group of audience members who, for some reason, like, hate Sansa at this stage. But I'm like, man, she went through some fucked up shit. You gotta learn to give her some slack, I feel like.
How can you hate her after she killed Littlefinger?
Well, that's true. Also, she fucked
up. The best moment of the series, arguably.
One of the
best. Most satisfying, yeah.
One of the best, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I saw some people reacting weirdly, and I'm like, well, she's just worried. She's just, you know, I can understand it. I mean,
it's hard to be. Most people would not be worried about that kind of stuff when they're in the face of certain death, near certain death.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
From the undead.
Yeah. From the undead, yes. So we do get to see another bunch of catch ups and stuff in between the next, like, big moment. We see Sansa catch up with Tyrion. Finally, and they have a little funny quip about the, you know, Tyrion's like, the last time I saw you, you ran off and basically left me to deal with them and caused my life.
Left me to carry the bag.
Yeah, and I got fucked up in a lot of trouble for you leaving me there. And then Sansa says something along the lines of, yeah, but it wasn't all bad, like hint, hint, because, you know, Joffrey died that day.
Yeah, he said, wedding was a bad affair or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, wasn't all that bad. Yeah. And then she's like, you know, we're both still alive, though, and Tyrion points out that, yeah, she's a lot of people underestimated her power and her smartness and these sorts of things. So it was,
and they're all dead.
Yeah, and they're all dead. So that was the thing. Not too much to it. It's just like, hey, there's a few of these scenes in this episode, though. It's like,
hey, remember these two were married?
These two characters, they had history. Now they're talking about it. And now they're not talking about it because the scene's over. There was a few of them, so that was one of them. Arya and Jon catch up and discuss swords. This is probably my favorite of
that
all
was
the...
That nice.
I like this scene. This is my favorite of all the characters catching up and talking on, because it's cool. Like, she sneaks up on him and he's like, how the hell did you sneak up on me? Because I'm Jon Snow and no one can fucking sneak up on... No one can sneak up on Jon Snow.
I know stuff.
Yeah, I know everything. Haven't you heard? Haven't you checked the internet? But and then they begin talking about swords, and of course he gave her the needle. That sword, and then he's like, oh, you still got it? And she's like, yeah. And then they basically, he's like, you want to see my sword? And then she's like, yeah, it's cool, it's too heavy.
No,
and,
but he also bold-faced lies to him when he asks, oh, have you used it a couple times?
Yeah, well, she doesn't lie, she's just like, a couple times. What do you want her to be like? Yeah, fucked up. More people than you, Jon Snow.
Let me show you my list.
Yeah, want to compare notes on how many people we've each killed? I'll take you to town. Yeah. And then he's like, I've killed this many White Walkers. And she's like, they don't count. I killed
they're already dead.
Yeah, they're already dead. They don't count for shit. Okay?
Dead people don't count.
Yeah, don't care. But yeah, overall, I thought this was the most heartwarming characters of all these, like, short little catch-up scenes. I thought it was a good one. I was like, oh... When they turned around and they hugged and embraced and was like, hey, you're catching up. I was like, yeah, I'm down for this.
And they hugged again.
Yeah, but Arya's like...
Also, so good you got it twice.
Arya's also like my favorite character on the show, so I'm just like, yay. Yeah. Go Arya.
But she's also wary of Daenerys as well.
So. Yeah, well, they have a short conversation where John's like, you should have helped me out with Sansa before. And then she, Arya says that she's on Sansa's side because Sansa's just trying to protect the family. And then John does fun, like, point out that it's funny that she's actually on her side because, you know, you think back to season one when we were introduced to the cast and it was like Sansa was just constantly picking on her as the younger sister.
Yeah.
And that sort of rivalry. And now they're all, the two of them are getting along.
They're best buds.
They're grown up now, Jon Snow. All right. Where the fuck have you been? These are.
We've been through shit. We've
been through shit. We've learnt to get
you
along.
You just sitting on your wall.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Just getting. I liked asking how he survived getting stabbed in the heart.
Yeah. And he's like, didn't.
I didn't.
She doesn't question it past that, but yeah. Didn't hear it. Yeah. Didn't find out. Arya, after this, heads over and she catches up with the Hound. Pretty much for a hot second.
Kind of.
Kind of catches up, I guess, if you want to call it that. He calls her a cold little bitch, which then proceeds, but then is like,
super endearing.
That's probably why you survived, but also you left me to die. And she's like, yeah.
I robbed you first.
I robbed you first. Cold little bitch. She doesn't argue. She's like, yeah, I am, but guess what? Yeah. You're alive. I'm alive. Let's move past it. Okay, we're all on the same team now. Let's move on. Then she talks to Gendry about getting this new sword made. I looked up online. People are like pointing out that you can see this somewhat in some of the trailers. Like, there's the one shot in the trailer where she's like running through the catacombs, it seems, and she's like bleeding somewhat, and she's got it in the hand. And there's another like 2 second shot of her like twirling around in some sort of action scene where she's got it. And judging by the design that's in the episode, it seems like it's. The theory is that it's a spear, double-edged, that can be pulled apart into two, like, shorter things, is what the thing is. And there was there was an interview also, like, a month ago or something like that, with the person who does all the weapon design stuff for the show, who said that there's a weapon coming up in season 8 that's going to be a showstopper and everyone's going to love. So that's potentially the weapon that person was talking about, because obviously it's going to be really cool if it is this really well-designed thing. And then the other thing is, like, it could, one side could be Valyrian steel and the other side could be like Dragonglass, I guess. So she's kind of keeping like both sides.
Yeah.
She's got a little bit of everything.
Well, it needs to be something that can kill White Walkers, so.
Yeah, so one for White Walker. It's like she's a witcher. She's got a short sword and a long sword. One for monsters, one for humans.
I mean, Valyrian and Dragonglass both kill White Walkers, so, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And if the Dragonglass is sharp enough, it'll kill anybody.
That's also true, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not necessary. But, yeah, we'll see how fast she gets away. Hope she just gets that weapon next week. It'll be cool.
Yeah, come on, Gendry. Gendry, get to work.
The fucking work, okay? Fucking rid of the Hound's weapons. Make sure you're
taking forever rowing a boat.
Take it from throwing.
Just make sure work.
get to it, like, Gendry. Fucking hell. So that was cool.
And they were clearly flirting. She was trying to flirt anyway.
Yeah, she was a little bit. She's like, how many other rich girls? I'm the only rich girl that you do know. Ha. And then walks off. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Gendry and Arya together at the end of the season. That was one of the questions we should have had in our predictions.
Didn't we both say Gendry's going to die?
Doesn't mean they can't be together before he dies, you know?
Like, they could be.
All things are possible in love and war, I think. Maybe. We'll find out. Maybe? I don't know.
All things are possible or impossible, did you say?
Moving on. So, in our first successful prediction for both of us, we get a big old green tick on something. In the first episode, already getting green ticks for something, John rides a bloody dragon. So him and Danny go up to investigate the dragons because Danny hears that they only ate 18 sheep and 3 cows. You know, something that sounds like a lot to us, to them is a very small number.
Barely anything.
And then they walk up and they see the bones there. They begin talking to him. Danny jumps on top of one of the dragons. And then, she's like, why don't you have a go? And he gets on and they have this rather feel good somewhere between five to 10 minute scene of them riding these dragons around in the sky.
Yeah.
It's a cool, it looks great. Like, obviously the CGI work that they do in the show is cool. The funny scene they have later when they're kissing and they cut to that shot of the dragon, like kind of
staring
that, which was supposed to be funny. It's a nothing scene, but at the same time, I don't mind it being in the first episode because it really does just feel like this hey, instead of having this moment be in, as we were kind of theorizing, that would be like in the heat of the moment, he jumps on top of a dragon or whatever.
Yeah.
Gets on top of it. They've turned it into this kind of like sweet, yay, look, we're flying dragons. It's really like this cool thing instead of we're riding a dragon into battle. It's just more of the magical, fantastical element of flying around on a dragon, I guess. And it's also because it's in the first episode, it's they get to do a sort of moment that's like, hey, here's a fun fan service-y type moment before shit starts getting too hectic.
Real
into the third part.
Before the revelation at the end of the episode.
Well, before that as well. Yeah. So what do you think? Were you fine with it, or was you like
this? Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was amusing watching him trying to get up on the dragon.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, she was clearly enjoying him attempting.
Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon did it better.
I also was when he's climbing on it, I straight away was thinking about How to Train Your Dragon as well, actually. Yeah.
Like, you should put a saddle on this. That would be a better idea.
Haven't you watched How to Train Your Dragon? Come on, Jesus.
Yeah. Jeez. And then the other thought was, it makes sense that he can ride the dragon because he's part Targaryen. He's part Targaryen, because you haven't been keeping up with the show. That's why they're cool with him.
Yeah. I mean, we knew that last season, though, when he was able to touch them and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't get confirmed. He didn't know at the time. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a fine moment. I know it's the most meme moment I've seen on Twitter so far because of the cut to the dragon and smiling at them or whatever it is. Like
the watching. One eye looking at him.
Yeah, that's the, like the most comedically cut moment, I think, in Game of Thrones, I swear. Yeah. Like the fact that they have a close-up of him and then him like looking and then cutting to that dragon's face like that is like they're purposely doing it for comedic value, which the show doesn't really do ever. When the show's funny, it's usually just because characters are having like back forth quips at one another kind of thing. But
this season opened with a eunuch joke, so
that is true. That's the first line in the whole fucking season.
The first piece of dialogue.
First person dialogue was Tyrion making a eunuch joke. That is true. Yeah. So there's the bar set, everyone. And I guess at that point, but yeah, it's like whatever. This whole thing, like watching these two. I suppose the other thing about this scene is watching this was you like this is kind of boring because you feel like it's going to end when as soon as he finds out. Like, it does it feel weird to watch their romanticizing? You know, you're like it's Game of Thrones, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah,
I watch cousins fuck all the time. It's cool. All right. As long as they're not brother sister, whatever.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's aunt and nephew. Keep getting it wrong.
Whatever they are, they're related, okay? It doesn't matter. Let's be real. Okay, so leading to the family moment, of course. Later in the episode, we do get to see Danny goes to talk to Samwell Tarly, who is up in the library, of course. That's where he hangs out, his favorite place. She's basically being brought in by Jorah, who is like, hey, come speak to this guy. He saved my life when I was rotting away with the stone disease. I forget the name of it, sorry. Whatever that was called, the stone disease he was rotting away with. He's like, hey, this is the guy that saved me. And she's like, you know, is there anything you can do? Is there anything I can do for you to help you? And he's like, you know, actually, if you don't mind, Your Majesty, Your Highness, Your Lady, whatever I call you, please don't hurt me. Can you give me a pardon? And she asks what for, and he says it's because he stole his family's sword and some money, and that's when he like ran off, and then of course that's how he ended up at the Night Watch and all these sorts of things. We'd heard the story, of course, before, but what he doesn't know that we know is that she had his fucking family bet life
murdered.
Yeah. I mean, like, not just murdered, really. They were disintegrated.
Killed.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
they were killed.
They were dusted.
They were game.
Not with a snap.
No, not with a snap though. Yeah. So she begins explaining this. She's like, oh, not related to whatever his name is, Tarly. And he's like, yeah, that's my dad. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. He failed to bend the knee. Blah 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 blah. And this stage, he starts getting a bit upset. And then it's, oh, you know, at least
grayscale. That's the sorry.
Grayscale.
That's the disease.
And then it's like, oh, you know, at least my brother's ruling that place now. I'll be okay. And then she's like, no, your brother refused to bend the knee.
Such an awkward conversation.
Yeah, very, very awkward.
Danny's like, oh, just scene. Don't. Just
yeah. And then then of course he asks if he can leave, and she's like, yeah, I'm sorry. Go. leave, get out of here.
She didn't say I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure.
No, but she should have, hey? I guess that's the point. She probably should have. And then, of course,
they defied me.
So I met them to the crisp. And then, as he's running outside, Sam, of course, runs into Bran, who's creepily sitting across the corner,
watching everybody.
Watching, of course.
Who is he waiting for?
Well, he was waiting for Sam. That's the at least he says that, because he's like,
I don't think he was.
Sam's like, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Oh, I was waiting for an old friend," which is Sam. Or something. I took it as he was waiting for Sam to tell Sam to go tell John, is what I took it as. That's what I
maybe
understood it as. I don't think it was anything.
Could have another meeting.
Let's not get too heavy into deep meaning everything with Bran. Like, Bran's an enigma, but he's also just creepy. Bran says, "Hey, I think it's time to spill the beans to John to finally tell him the true history about his what family's related to, blah 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 blah." Tell him it's Targaryen, basically, is what it boils down to. Sam then is kind of like, "Why me? You're his brother. Shouldn't you be the one to do it?" Bran then says, "No, you're the person that Jon trusts the most, so it's better off that you do it.
You're more of a brother than I am."
Yeah, you're more than a, well, Nightwatch brother, I guess, is what it's hinting at, yeah. So he goes down.
Or is it another secret?
Oh, my fucking God, please don't. Sam will tell he's actually a Targaryen. So Sam heads down to the family crypt, which is where John is at. He's hanging out with his Ned Stark daddy over down there, the big old statue in there. And yeah, we get kind of one of the best acted scenes, I guess, of the season. And also, really great moment out of the way. Like, as much as the season finished up with them revealing, like, you know, Jon Snow's Targaryen, confirmation, I was worried coming into this season that they'd push it into like episode 3-ish or something before they actually got around to revealing it to Jon. So,
or like I theorized last episode, they just
wouldn't tell him full stop. So yeah, I was quite happy when Sam gets down there, says, "Hey, Jon, can we talk?" Jon says, "Yeah, what's up, mate? Want to have a sit down?" And then,
"What up, buddy?"
"Yeah, what up?" He says, "Hey, I know me and Bran worked it out." And, well, Sam says, "I worked it out via paper. Bran worked it out by being Bran." Like, doing whatever Bran does creepily.
I wonder if anybody's explained what's happened to Bran to
John. No one understands. No one questions anything. It's just like, what's Bran do? I don't know. His eyes roll back into his head. He disappears. He disappears for a while. He fucking knows.
He just says creepy stuff at the right times.
Stuff, you know. He calls Hodor to die, basically. So then, yeah, he says, "You're, you know, right, Lyanna plus what's his fuck
Rhaegar."
Thank you. I didn't write it down because I'm like, it's such easy. I should just remember it. Rhaegar Targaryen, and I remembered Lyanna though, of course. "You're there, baby. Ned was protecting you. That's your big secret. You're actually the king. You've been the king this entire time. You own that title. You're actually first in line to the crown, not Danny. What the fuck are you going to do about it?" And you can tell that. I appreciate that it doesn't become this moment of John like being like, "Nah, I don't believe you," because I didn't want it to go down that. I'm like, really, please don't go down a route of just denial and not believing him. I like it's just kind of left on this moment of, you can tell he believes Sam because he trusts Sam, right? And he's not doubting that Sam's actually telling him the truth, because he knows Sam's smart and he wouldn't be telling this to fuck with him or anything. But you can tell he also doesn't know what the fuck he's supposed to do with the information once he's got it.
It doesn't help that Sam's coming and he's like, "Oh, Danny killed my family. Guess what? You're the rightful king."
Yeah. Kill Danny.
Fuck her. Yeah. You're supposed to be on top.
You're supposed to be on top. Yeah. I'd also like to point out, I think this is the best acted scene of the episode. And I think the best actor in this episode is John Bradley. Between this scene and the one prior to this with Danny, he gets the golden acting.
He gets the most, script wise, he gets the best opportunity to act there.
Yeah, I know, but I often feel like
he's... But you still need to pull it off.
I often feel like he's underrated somewhat on the show, I guess. When he's... Yeah. Like, if any of the actors, he's come quite a long way, I guess, on the show. Out of a bunch of them.
The biggest character transformation, probably.
Yeah. So, what do you think is going to happen here? What do you think John is going to do with the information? Where does he go from this? Do you think he actually tells her?
Maybe... maybe she tries to make a move and he's like, ooh.
Goes to kiss. He's sure. Like, oh, I brushed my teeth today. Sorry, no.
I need a mint.
Need a mint first.
Yeah, but I feel like he'll be preoccupied with other stuff. More importantly, the White Walkers. So.
Yeah, I think given everything...
So I don't think it's going to be dealt with immediately. No. It's going to be something that will simmer around
for a while, yeah. I feel like he definitely won't rush to tell her because, of course, everything we know about John and was just talking about before, he's more interested in what's actually happening with the war and protecting the North and these sorts of things than he is titles. And then I also think because he has such little interest in title, I don't think he really cares about being king, and I don't think he cares about sorting this stuff out with Danny. But my question then, the one that does interest me, it is like, well, do we get to the next episode? And he's like being really weird with Danny about like, she, like we're joking, but at the same time, like, does she like try to kiss him? And he's like, no, just stand over here doing it. Like, I definitely don't think he's going to tell her, but then I'm wondering how he's going to tackle that weird situation he's got in. Or if he's just like,
YOLO.
Whatever. Because then, of course, the other thing is, there's this short scene I didn't really bring up, but there's a short scene between Tyrion, Varys, Davos. They're all having this talk, and it pretty much boils down to them saying, "Hey, maybe we should try and convince them to, you know, king plus queen, not just queen. You know, like a dual ruling system could be better for the kingdom going forth type thing." So they're hinting at it. So then I'm wondering, like, if one of them brings that conversation to Jon, with him knowing the knowledge he has now, would he be more likely to be like, yes, that does sound like a good idea? Because A, I'm kind of owed it, bitch. And all... and also, it seems better for the kingdom. So, yeah, I could see that being like the direction they potentially go. But then the bigger question on top of that is then, do you think Danny would ever accept that? I would say no. I don't think she'd be down for that. I think she's come too far wanting to be queen to this stage to ever agree into any sort of dual ruling, even if she really likes John. I don't see it.
You know, maybe John can just be a position, like a trophy husband.
Trophy husband, John. Figurehead.
You know, like Prince Philip.
Yeah, I guess. No, yeah, I guess, yeah. Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
You know, he gets to keep going around fighting peoples and then he just runs everything.
Yeah. Ruin? No, he's not going to ruin anything. Come on. But yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I agree on your main point that I don't think that'll be handled next episode. I think it's... But then, I keep saying "and then" a lot, but every time I say something, I think of something, which is that we were saying, like, I didn't think they would handle the John's lineage to like episode 3. You didn't think they would handle it full stop, and they handle it in the first episode. So now we're like, oh, we don't think they'll handle this until X episode, X time, X whatever. But they already proved this wrong
first thing
once before.
Start of next episode, John barges into Daenerys' room. I'm your fucking nephew.
I'm your fucking nephew.
We need to stop banging.
We need to stop banging. What a sentence. What a sentence. I mean, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll have to... It's not out of the realm of possibilities, I guess.
Who knows?
Yeah, I guess it's just like they've subverted our expectations once. They could do it again, you know? We'll have to see. All right, so let's talk about what happens in the South this episode, which not a whole lot, I don't think. It's like... More so than anything else, everything that's happening in the South at King's Landing and such is set up. And that's because it's just like Cersei's not going to have a lot to do until, I believe, everyone that's up in the North ends up being pushed down towards her area, I guess is what's going to end up happening. Cause,
yep, and then she just waits for one of them to get killed, and then she kills whatever one's still alive.
Something like that.
Undead.
Well, grab your... I got a theory for how I can see the rest of the season playing out. We'll grab those before we wrap up. But so Cersei hears... The first thing we get with Cersei is that she hears the news about the wall collapsing and, you know, White Walkers come through and all this sort of stuff. And she's just sipping off, looking at the boat. She's like, great. I'm like, what do you mean great? Like, I understand in her mind, it's like, well, they're going to kill all of the North first. But then I'm like, you do understand, are you really that naive and you weren't listening to anything that anyone said to you? Because it's like, if they kill everyone up there, that actually expands the White Walker army. Yeah. Do you not understand the concept of how it works? Like, if they kill all of them up there, including all of the Dothraki, all of the Unsullied, all of the fucking Jon Snow's people, whatever, you, like, are you fucking dumb, bitch? Like, do you understand the concept that we're talking about?
She's got the mountain and the crossbow thing that shoots dragons.
Oh yeah, big fucking whoopsie.
She's gonna be fine.
I just, at this point, I'm like, Cersei, I already hate you, right? And I understand you're supposed to be the ultimate big bad somewhat of the show. It's like, it's arguable now, like, who's really the big bad of the show? Is it the Night King or is it fucking Cersei? But I'm like, Cersei's been around longer and I've kind of hated her longer than the Night King, so I was like, in my mind, Cersei's the big bad. But I'm like,
Night King, I don't know the Night King's agenda, so I can't judge it, but Cersei seems like a terrible person. So,
well, Night King's agenda is to
Night King's like, I want to proliferate my race. This is the only way we can
communicate,
add new members to our species.
Maybe. But it's like, Cersei, I already hate you, but I just feel like you're getting dumb right now. Now you're just annoyingly dumb.
Baby brain. I've been told by separate people it's a thing.
It's hardcore fucking baby brain. If you're like, oh, whoops, I forgot that they could grow their army by a million more. You fucking idiot. All right, so that's the thing. And then she starts complaining about elephants, which is also a meme on the internet currently. Because it is weird how often she's like, she starts talking to the Golden Company, you know, their own boat, Euron brings them in. It's like, she's got a bit more of a bigger army now. Cool, they'll get turned into White Walkers later in the series, I'm sure. They'll be fucking fantastic. Also, the main captain dude, I thought looked like Matt Smith from Doctor Who. I don't know if anyone else felt that looked like him. It looked like Matt Smith to me. Just me, yeah. Then. That's fine. Perfectly okay.
Do you reckon they just didn't have enough room in the budget for elephants, and that's why?
No, because look how good the fucking dragons look. They've got room for elephants. I just find it weird that they wrote her this obsession with elephants, where she's literally...
This is a bit of a different... Elephants in the snow, that's got to be weird.
She's like standing in the corner, basically like... So, like that one silent violin for herself, like, no elephants for me this season.
Yeah, well, maybe you don't know. Her favorite animal could be elephants, and she's like, kind of excited that this was her one opportunity to see them. And
before
they're
she
not
dies.
Coming.
Now she can't. Okay, well, I'm very sorry, Siri.
Huge Dumbo fan.
I did see someone, Ruth Cornett, she used to work at IGN. She tweeted, like, the crossover I didn't expect, it was like Dumbo with Game of Thrones. I was like, yeah. No, who did? Who really did? So Euron, after teasing Yara a whole bunch on the boat, like, hey, I'll kill you one day, but first I gotta fuck the queen. That's big old fun time. I'm just gonna leave you here and go try and fuck the queen.
Wait, one thing, did he say that the army that he's with is mute?
Yeah, it seemed like the Golden Company or whatever are mutes, yeah.
That seems like a terrible idea for an army.
It seemed like a throwaway line. I don't know if it's important for later or not, but...
Yeah, but... For an army, that seems like a terrible idea because you just stealth and they can't yell at each other that something's
wrong.
They
all follow Matt Smith's looking character, I guess.
That's why, of all people, Theon was able to rescue
her. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. he heads off, speaks to Cersei, pretty much is like, hey, here, Golden Company, say hi. She's like, elephants, 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 give me elephants. And he's like, oh, I'll tell you what, I've got an elephant of my dick. And then she's like, nah, not in.
You want to see an elephant?
Yeah. She's like, nah, I'm not in. And then, but then she's like, actually, I'm in. And then they fuck. And then I don't understand why, though. That, I suppose that's my biggest question. Do you have any wrap around what you think her like long-term game plan here is with Euron? Because I don't.
I mean, I guess it explains the baby away.
You think that's what she's going to do? Like, she's just doing it?
That's the only thing I can... I mean, and like just to placate him.
They have that line after they have sex, and then she's like, I want to be alone now, if they talk for a little bit. And he's a really annoying character, obviously, and he's fucking talking shit. And then he's like, I'm going to put a baby boy in you, or something along those lines, and like, types it. And then she's like, I want to be alone now. And he leaves her in, but then she like starts to cry. Like, so she's just holding in, being her, like, tough persona the entire time. But, like, but if that's her game plan, I'm like, do you really want to live in a world? Like, because obviously, if that was her game plan, her end game would still be to kill Euron, but then, like, be able to explain away the baby's lineage. But then the baby's lineage is always going to be associated to the Ironborn. And it doesn't seem like that's something she would actually want, you know?
I don't know. It just seems like she was placating him more than anything else. He seems like the person to turn at a moment's notice, so...
I don't know. I didn't feel like she needed to, I guess, is my thing. I didn't feel like she needed to give in to him at all, but she did, so...
No.
Interesting.
She was just in the mood.
Maybe.
Clearly not, if you're crying after.
I don't think it's the time for it. All right, so while Euron is off fucking around Cersei, though, Theon... Theon mounts his rescue mission, which, again, I was kind of surprised happened as fast as it did in the first episode, because we were talking about this, and Wade was talking about last episode, was talking about, you know, like, I was like, Theon will die, like, doing this rescue mission, and all these sorts of things, because in my mind, I thought that Euron was taking her back to the Iron Island, and he was going to have to rescue her
from the Iron Island. I think we both forgot that he was going to get the Golden Company.
Yeah, but then I thought he was still going to... Like, the way he talked last time we saw him, it still sounded like he wanted to retreat to the Iron Islands. But he hasn't done that.
That's because he was playing the... I think it was whoever they were with when he left. No, it was during that big council thing.
It was during the council thing,
people's like... He was playing a role.
I guess.
So he didn't really want to go back. He was just going so he could go get the gold company.
I guess. I missed his playing the role, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's been 2 years.
It has been 2 years, yeah. Well, although I did rewatch the last episode and I still must have missed it, so I don't know.
Okay, well then that's on you.
Yeah, sorry. While he's under doing this thing on Mount's this rescue mission, saves Yara. She headbutts him, but then helps him back up. So it's like this sign, like, fuck you, but you saved me, so respect you now, brother. Good. We're good. It's like, yeah, Ironborn, what is dead may never die. But fucking kill him anyway, which is a line later. That was pretty cool. Then they steal the boats, I take it, is basically what we're led to believe, I guess. They steal the boats that are around there, and they start heading off. And Yara, of course...
Or it could have been the boats from the other men that Theon went off with.
I guess. I didn't really understand, but at the same time,
it's
I'm like,
not
it
really
doesn't
important.
Really matter, I guess, is the important thing, yeah.
She's safe. They're on boats.
Yeah, they're on boats. She's safe. She, of course, is like, hey, I'm going to go back. We're going to take the Iron Islands back, and we're going to save them, and it'll be great. And then Theon's like, yeah, but Daenerys has gone to the north, up to Winterfell. And she's like, yeah, but if they lose the battle, they'll want to retreat to somewhere. We'll get the Iron Islands. It'll be good. They'll have somewhere they'll be able to come back to the Iron Islands later, blah, 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 blah. But then she can tell, talking to Theon, that Theon actually just wants to be there to help out his... OG family during the battle to come. And she, instead of arguing, says, instead of being like, no, you need to stick with me, we're your real family, blah, 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 she says, no, go help out your Stark brethren, or whatever you want to do. And
they say this sort of goodbye thing in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. And then she kicks him off and he begins swimming. I don't
know. he swims to shore.
If anything, he just fast travels there for the next episode, I'm sure. That's actually what's going to happen.
He just catches a raven.
It's like the timeline again. It's like he's all the way down here, and then if he turns up next episode, but then we know the Night King's here. I swear I have to just not even think about it this season, or else I'll just do my fucking head in at this point. Then the only other like key important scene that's chucked away in all this is Bronn is given a job to kill Jaime and Tyrion if he sees him, basically.
Oof.
Is what it boils down to. Like it's a lot longer scene with little jokes and sex and whatever else is going on, but it's like, hey, here's a crossbow. Yeah. Is that what you call him? Crossbow bolt thing. I don't know. Whatever he used to kill Tyrion Lannister, whatever Tyrion used to kill Tyrion Lannister. He's given it by Kyrian.
I don't know, the maester creepy guy.
The creepy maester guy says, gives it to him and says, "Hey, if you see the betrayer brothers, kill them, and you get a fuck ton of gold. There's already a bunch of gold outside for you."
No, yeah, he's getting paid up front. So why would he do it? Especially if you don't know it. You just wait till see who's on the winning side.
You get more, I guess.
That's what Bronn's gonna do.
But
he's like,
well, here's my question. We'll add this one to the prediction sheet. Well, maybe not, but either way. Will Bron, if given the chance, kill either of them, Jaime or Tyrion?
Nah.
Yeah, that's big on nah for me too.
No.
I could see him lining it up.
He's, yep.
Then nah. That's it. No.
Yep, he's a good man.
We get another scene later in the episode, back up towards the north, where we've got Tormund, Beric, and a few others from escaping the wall, and it's collapsed, of course. They're creeping through a castle, or some sort of place, I guess. I didn't know if we were supposed to know where it was at first. I gathered we wasn't. We're not really supposed to know where it is until they find the Lord Kid attached to the wall, I guess,
yeah.
Later. But they're creeping through it. They bump into some other Night's Watch crew who's happened to be creeping through it as well. There's a bunch of dead bodies all around the place as they're creeping through, so they know some shit's going on there.
No, there wasn't dead bodies was the thing.
Well, there's blood, but no dead bodies.
Yeah. There's just blood, yeah, yeah. No dead bodies.
So it's like blood, people were killed, but then they're back to life as White Walkers and they've joined the army.
Yep.
So the Night's King is building his army as he's going along, which is nice. That's good. That's good for him, I'm sure. You know, like it always helps to pick up a few
expansion,
few extra members on your way to conquer and kill Jon Snow, who you hate so much. When they bump into the other people, there was one funny moment here that was actually a good joke, I thought, which was when Tormund bumps into the other dude. I forgot to write down the character's name. Like one of
Dolores
the
Ed.
What's his name?
Dolores. Dolores.
One of the OG Jon Snow Night's Watch people.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. He bumps into him and he's like, he's got blue eyes. And then Tormund's like, I've always had blue eyes. That was quite funny, I thought. Play that. And that's what I mean. Like, that is typical, like, Game of Thrones level
humor.
That's
the kind of humor you're used to. Not
the before, the way it was cut and everything. Seemed like that's not the kind of Game of Thrones humor I'm used to at all. No. But this is the type of Game of Thrones joke. So they go up into the main whole room, I guess, of this building or whatever it is. And we do get to see this young boy who's, like, staked with a dagger or something, I guess, to the wall at the back, and he's surrounded in all these body parts. Now, the boy is the boy we saw from the start of the episode.
Yeah. So at the start of the episode, there's a little boy who makes Lyanna, what's her name, look like a veteran.
Tight.
She's like six.
Yeah. And this kid looks like...
He's super young.
Yeah. Well,
and then he's the Lord.
Yeah. Sansa's like, Lord, whatever your name is, where are your people?
Lord Umber.
Yeah. That's that's
the little kid pops out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's nailed to the wall here. Whatever. Staked.
Creepy.
Daggered. Sworded. And he's surrounded by all these body parts forming a symbol. The symbol, I don't think we really have a name or whatever, like a description of what this symbol
never
is.
Never seen it before.
We have. Kinda. It's been like there's a scene in one of the episodes where there's a bunch of body parts north of the wall, a bunch of bodies that have formed this sort of symbol. And then there's a couple of places we've seen it drawn, like in like flashback stuff. It's basically been hinted at that it's like the symbol of the first man or like the first people or whatever, which is what the Night's King is. You know what I mean? The first man, first people, whatever they call them. I saw someone post on Twitter this image of the top down shot of the scene where we see him turned into the Night's King, you know, where the forest people stab him and all that sort of stuff. And they were saying it kind of looks like that, which it does. Like the top part's this orange tree, and then there's some stones placed around it and all these sort of things. But there's not like an official description or anything of what exactly this symbol is. It's a lot of theorizing, but we have seen body parts or like things laid out to represent this symbol somewhat before, but we've never had it explained, so we don't really know what it means. But whatever it is, we're kind of presuming it's...
Apparently, it's called the Death Swirl.
Well, there you go, the Death Swirl. That'll do. I was just taking it as the Night's King's insignia. You know, that's his house, I guess. His house, Death Swirl, or whatever. Of course the Lord comes back to life. Not really a scary moment though. I don't know if that was trying to make it a jump scare moment, but it didn't do it. Beric burns him, and then the whole body parts burn, and then they're all like, oh shit, if the fucking Night's King's been through here, it means that we're behind him and his army, and we have to somehow get around and ahead of him to get to Jon Snow to warn him what's happening. And how the fuck are we gonna do that? Because that's, you know, that's a whole hard trip to do. So they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, really. And then the last scene of the episode that kind of sets up where we could be going into episode two, it does set up where we're going, is we see this hooded figure come into Winterfell, and it's revealed to be Jaime. And then there's a creepy shot again of Bran just staring at him. But this time it's kind of creepy and it makes sense because it is like, but, he's staring at him going,
"You put me in this
You're
chair.
You're the motherfucker who
pushed me
out of out of that tower and caused me to lose my ability to walk.
Thanks.
So fuck you." So that's the only time I'm like, "Bran, you stare him down. You stare him.
You stare at that man.
You stare him down real good. You do
stare
it.
As much as you want.
You stare as much as you need to, young man." So I guess that the first question I have for going into next week's episode is, what do you think is going to happen with Jaime? Because did you watch the next week? Did you watch the trailer? Yeah, so
I did.
They have him in the trailer. We see he's brought into a room. Daenerys is saying, like, "Oh yeah, as a kid, my brother would always talk tales about the man who killed our father and what we'll do if we saw him." And of course, the room is full of people who have had issues and still have issues with Jaime. There's going to be a lot of people there. Do you think he's just...
But he's got some supporters in that room.
Yeah, that's true. There will be some two supporters or people there. It's more than none, which is better than some people get, I suppose.
Yeah.
What do you
more
think...
than Littlefinger.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. What do you think is going to happen with Jaime? Do you reckon it's just going to be a like back forth and he's pleading his case?
I think he pleads his case and then the Night Watch it. The White Walkers attack, so I don't have time.
Like, interrupt it straight away, kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like, a horn goes off or something.
Then it's like too late. Nah. Give him a sword. Let him help out. What else are we going to do?
Yeah.
There's no point arguing about it. I mean, if
we'll
not,
solve this later.
Yeah. If it's not that, I just see it being like another Jon Snow moment of, look, I understand I don't love him either, but at the moment, if he says he's here to help and. Like if he's actually
ooh, what
help.
If John like overrules Daenerys and like would pardon him?
Yeah, some bunch of fighting gonna happen. Oh my god! Yeah. I don't see it being a big part of the episode, to be honest, because it's like, do we really need 20 minutes of political? Should everyone trust Jaime or not? When the fucking Night's King's on his way. And the other part we do see in the trailer, of course, is that they do the team of Beric and Tormund managed to get ahead of. Managed to get ahead of the Night's King somewhat, warn John, and then John in the trailer does say, "Well, how long we got?" And he says, "Till morning time."
Dawn.
So, what do you see playing out? We're not obviously next week's episode isn't a super long one. It's the same, roughly the same length time.
Yep.
Episode two.
That shot is going to be how we end the episode.
Do you actually reckon that's how it's gonna? Do you reckon that's how it's gonna end?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. It wouldn't be.
It'd be everybody like prepping and like then because it's episode three when it starts to jump. Or?
Yeah, they start getting a little bit heavier on the runtime from episode three onwards. Yeah. The last couple of the hour 21. So let's do this then. So we're kind of looking towards wrapping up this episode. Now that we've watched the first episode, now that you've kind of got a lot more information about the season and stuff. How do you see the remainder of the episodes playing out? What happens in each one? How's it going to go down, roughly?
I honestly don't know.
And do you like that?
Yeah, kind of. who doesn't want to be surprised and shocked? I mean,
yeah.
As long as it's good, I don't really care. But
any lasting thoughts before wrapping up, I guess, then?
No, just give us more, please.
Well, you will. You only have
is
to
it,
wait a
is
week.
Is it Monday yet?
It isn't. It's not. I'm sorry. Next week. But they're coming. They're coming. Game of Thrones is on the final stretch, of course. Thank you for joining us this week for South of King's Landing. You can watch the video version of this show to see our lovely faces, of course, over at youtube.com/explosionnetwork, where you should subscribe to the channel, like the video, and ring the ding-ding-a-ding bell to make sure the White Walkers don't get you. And also get notifications when the next episode goes up. Or if you'd rather just listen to this program, you can find it available on all podcasting services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. All you got to do is search for South of King's Landing, and it should show up as long as you've spelt it all correctly. You can follow me on Twitter at Viva Ladell, V-I-V-A-L-A-D-I-L. You can follow Ash on Twitter at Ashley Hobby, A-S-H-L-E-Y-H-O-B-L-E-Y. This is, of course, and a product of the Explosion Network, of which you can find many more great shows, news, reviews, articles, and sexy things, including our movie and TV podcast, What Do You Want to Watch? And you follow Explosion Network on Twitter at Explosion Pod. Thank you for watching this episode or listening to this episode. Until next week, the North remembers. Bye-bye.